Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. Thanks for joining us here today, friends. This is your host for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. Along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana, we greet you here today on this Wednesday. Happy Thanksgiving once again to everyone out there. Thank you guys for spending 30 minutes of your Wednesdays here with me. We're going through a sermon here in Romans chapter 7. In the meantime, I invite you to church here tonight where my associate pastor is teaching the word, and we will be in the book of Jude. There's only one chapter, so I promise you we're going to be in chapter 1. We'd love to see you. Now, Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. We're meeting at 6 tonight. If you're tuned into the 5:30 rebroadcast, you still have 30 minutes to make it to church tonight. I guarantee it's going to be a great time. Let's soak in the Word of God. We're going to find out the victory here today with how to overcome sin, and the greatest is going to be by being transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's where we're going to get to here today, because sin, our unwelcome house guest, never goes away. We just have to learn, as God said to Adam's son, he said, sin's crouching at your door, but you've got to learn, you've got to rule over it. Now, he failed that test. You and I can win this test by what we feed and what we pour into our soul. That's where we're at. This is part two of this message. God bless you guys once again. Happy Thanksgiving. We'd love to see you at church tonight, 6 o'clock. Therefore, I find this law. See, you can't see it, but I guarantee it's there and in full force. The following law, that when I wish to do the right thing, that evil is right there with me. That's chapter 7, verse 21. The law of the unwelcome house guest, that when I wish to do the right thing, evil is right there beside me. Let's look at that in action. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 13. Now, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. So he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. So I present to you the living proof of the Apostle Paul's law. Naturally, that would be one Simon Peter. Here he is on top of the world. Out of all 12 of them, he is the one who had Jesus' true identity revealed to him. His head was probably swelled up like the Goodyear blimp. But now, look at verse 21. And a quick note here. The unwelcome house guest feeds on, in this case, pride. Pride. Look at how fast. Look what happens to Peter. Look how fast it happens. Verse 21. Now, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and to be killed and be raised on the third day. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This will never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. You're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Look at how fast Peter fell. He went from "Blessed are you, Peter," to "Get behind me, devil," in just a matter of minutes. It's just that fast. And the Apostle Paul's telling us the same thing. Back to where we were in Romans. I just want you to see what that looks like. That in just in the same paragraph, he went from hero to goat. And it's not like this law of the evil alter ego goes away once you become a Christian. But once you become a Christian, you can beat this now, because the Bible informs us, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You now have the Holy Spirit. Now let's go to the end here of Paul's struggles. Verse 21 from the NIV. "So I find this law at work, that although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law." Meaning deep down inside, I really do want to do the right thing, right? Verse 23, "But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin that was at work within me." Then he says, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Catch the anguish here. The despair of sinning when you don't want to sin. Is there anyone else that can relate to that? Sinning when you don't want to sin. Have you guys, or am I the only one, that's ever repented of doing the same thing multiple times in your life? Catch the despair of him. That still, even though he's been to heaven, even though he has seen Jesus with his own eyes, he has seen great things, and still, he sets out to do the right thing and doesn't do the right thing. And he identifies the problem. You see, he's got an unwelcome house guest on the inside of him. Sin, seizing the opportunity. So there's the war for the Christian. He wrote this to encourage you so that when you struggle in your Christian life, that you understand that there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you when you struggle as a Christian. You're perfectly normal to struggle as a Christian, and there's nothing wrong with you. You just need to put the winning formula into practice. And let's read the winning formula now. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Because I think everyone now is at the place where they were in the book of Acts when Peter preached to them. Remember what they said? They said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? All right, I sin repeatedly over again, and I don't want to. God help me. What am I to do?" I think we all can get to that place. Now, where do we go from here? Let's go to, like I said, Romans chapter 12. Starting in verse 1, he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So, seven things. How do I win this struggle? I keep sinning repeatedly when I don't want to sin. I can't get the victory. Sin's got a free lease in me. It won't go away. I pray. I try to do things. I still find myself sinning. What am I to do? Here's his solution. First, he says here, He says, I beseech you by the mercies of God. So mercies of God, that is in light of how good God's been to you. In light of how good God's been to you. Then he says, present yourself as a living sacrifice. I would say, not a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice. Not a sacrifice that costs you nothing, but something that costs you something. And that would be you. He says, he doesn't say to me, I want you to present Carol. He says, I want you to present you, yourself. Not dead like all those other sacrifices. A living sacrifice. Me. Me. Then he says, holy. Holy means set apart. Something that's set apart. Then he says, acceptable. And I would say, acceptable to him. Not to you, or not just to you. Your best. Like Adam's son, Abel, your best, acceptable to him. Then he says, reasonable. He's not asking you to give to him something that's unreasonable. He said, it's your reasonable service. How grateful are you for all God's done in your life? It's not unreasonable that he would ask you for you. He's not asking anything unreasonable. Then he says here, do not conform to this world. Because this world will feed your unwelcome house guest. Don't conform to this world. This world feeds your unwelcome house guest. And that, if left untreated, I promise you this, will kill you. If your unwelcome house guest has free rein in your body, if left untreated, it will kill you. Then he says, lastly, renew your mind. Now this one's the key here. Renew your mind. You beat your unwelcome house guest. You beat your unwelcome house guest by what you pour into your spirit. That's how you win this. Which part of you are you going to feed? Let me encourage you to feed your soul. And you do that by, well, a couple things. Number one, soaking in the Word of God. Naturally, seeing that the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any known sword. Soaking in the Word of God. And you're doing that right now. That's why you're here today. You're soaking in the Word of God. You're feeding the spirit man inside of you. Number two. How do you do this? Praise music. And you just did that. There's the two solutions. We're living those right now. That's why it's so important to be the church and to soak in these things every other day, Monday through Saturday, when you're not here. You'll never get the victory without the Word of God, soaking in the Word of God. Praise music. When old King Saul was struggling with a demon, they used to bring in David and he would play praise music on his musical instrument. And every time he did that, the demon would leave. And I've done the same thing too. Matter of fact, I have, now some people might take this the wrong way, but I have a demonic playlist on my iPhone. You know, when he comes a knock, knock, knocking and a rap, rap, rapping on my chamber door, I got some music to make his little fanny flee as fast as he came in. The devil hates the praise music. It's a fact. It is what it is. I can't see it, but I know that it's true. It worked for David, and it works for me, and it'll work for you as well. Your born-again spirit loves praise music.
So you have to make the conscious decision to take sides with the spirit man on the inside of you and not to side with your unwelcome house guest. Now, lastly, let's turn to Genesis chapter 4. So I've heard it said before that us, we're three-part beings. Your soul, spirit, and body, your flesh. Your spirit is what's born again. The Bible says your spirit is one spirit with the Lord's. I don't think your spirit can sin. I think it's born again and it's locked up with God's Holy Spirit. Your flesh, well, we just read about that. Your flesh is where your unwelcome house guest resides. But the last part of you is the part that you feed. That is your soul, your mind, your will, your intellect. That's why he's going to say, with the mind, I rejoice in the law of God. And with the mind, I serve and am a slave to the Lord, meaning his soul. Whether or not you win or lose this battle is going to depend on what you feed into your soul here today. That's going to be the deciding factor for you in life. What you put into you is going to be the deciding factor on whether or not you walk in victory in your day-to-day life. Because the unwelcome house guest is not going away. He's not going away. Genesis chapter 4. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now in the process of time, it came to pass, came to Padanki, that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground of the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry. King James says he was wroth. An expression on his face fell. His countenance fell. So, catch what the Lord says to Cain now. We're going back. I mean, this is Adam's son. Look how far we're going back. Look how far this struggle's been going on. He says, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fall? If you do well, will you not be accepted? Then he says, if you do not do well, sin is lying or sin is crouching at your door. And its desire is for you. So, this is great news for me as far as I look at that. He says sin is crouching at your door. That means to me that sin is personified as a person. Right? It wants you. It's crouching outside my door. That also tells me that I can get this and I can put the hurt on this guy. Because God's just giving him, he's calling him a person. That means I can hurt him. It's crouching at my door. Sin is right there hiding behind the door. I can have this victory. God says that I can. Even back then, its desire is for you. You must master it, and you master that. By doing these things, soaking in the Word of God, praise music, I'm sure there are other ways as well. But that's how long this struggle's been going on. All right, verse 25. We'll wrap this up. He says, but thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, he says the same thing. Thanks be to God, gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's sum up what we've learned here today. We've gone through a pretty difficult chapter here, but pretty easy to understand, right? Sin keeps dogging me. It doesn't go away. I've committed the same sin more than once. He's helped us to identify what the problem is. And he's showing us how to get to victory. Right? So these are the things we've learned. Number one, we wouldn't know what sin was unless God had declared it to be sin in his word. Listen to what Jesus said to the Pharisees, John 9:39. He said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." Then some of the Pharisees who were with him, they heard these words, they said to him, "Are we blind then?" And Jesus said, listen to what he says. "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, you've got sin now. And your sin remains." He said, you had no sin when you were blind. But now that you know the truth, now it's sin. Number two, we've learned what it means by the law. The entirety of biblical scripture. God's revealed will to us through his word. The law, God telling us what life is. God's righteous standard. Number three, we've learned, sin will deceive you. That's 7-11. Sin, taken occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it, it killed me. So, sin deceives you into thinking that what you are doing is okay. But the law is God's righteous standard. Number four, sin will kill you. James wrote, sin, when it's finished with you, will bring it forth death. Number five, your sin nature does not go away. Your sin nature does not go away. I don't care what they say at other churches. Well, let me ask a question. Have you ever met a Christian that's sinned before? Then let's move on. Right? I mean, that is an asinine thing to believe, that once you're a Christian, you don't sin. Well, let me ask the question here. Has anyone here besides me ever sinned as a Christian? Pretty doggone ignorant. So your sin nature does not go away. It gets conquered by what you feed into your soul. But it doesn't go away. He said to Cain, who failed the test, he said, "You've got to master this. It's right here. It's lurking outside of your door. It doesn't go away. It's waiting for you to make the decisions every day in your life. What are you going to do?" It won't go away, unfortunately. That was number five. Number six is the law of the unwelcome house guest. That when I wish to do good, evil is right there beside me. Worse than that, it's in me. It's taking up residence on the inside of me. It doesn't go away when you become a Christian. And sometimes we ask ourselves, what's wrong with me? Right? Have you guys ever said that before? I used to be fine. Now that I'm a Christian, now I got, you know. No, you see, that's just proof that you're born again. Whereas before you didn't care. Now you've got the Holy Spirit. Now your shortcomings have come to life. Now you care, when as before you didn't. That's just evidence of your salvation, that now you care and before you didn't care. So that's good. That's not bad. That's good. We just got to get the victory. We have to beat this. We just have to move on. When you wish to do good, evil is present with you, like a faithful dog at your side. And lastly, only Jesus can save you from this predicament. Only Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:57. It says, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, we thank you. thank you for giving us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Thank you that when we were unlovable, that you loved us on our worst day. You demonstrate your own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, you died for us. We, like the leper, we return to give you glory. Forgive us for these sins we have committed. We repent of these sins. Forgive us for committing the same sins more than once. Forgive us for continually falling short of your glory. Help us in the coming days and weeks and months, when we find that sin is crouching at our door, help us to remember the way out that you've provided for us today. How to have the victory over sin by spending time in your word and by listening to music that glorifies you and all the other things that you want us to remember. Bring these things to our remembrance. And we praise you now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, thank you. He says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. And that's some more good news, isn't it? I love this benediction. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless. I love that one too. Present you faultless, hand in hand. You take his hand, he gives you the Father's hand. He's able to do that, and he will do that as well. He will do that. God loves you. That's my message today. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And the church family said, amen. God bless everyone. We'll see you back soon.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
McWhite's Funeral Home reminds listeners that October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Although home life, work life, and changing times are hard to keep up with, we're encouraging all area ladies to take time out for yourselves and schedule your mammogram or checkup today. That's courtesy of McWhite's Funeral Home in Lauderhill and West Palm Beach, the funeral home that offers quiet dignity and reverence. In times of sorrow, call McWhite's Funeral Home at 954-584-0047.